This week on RSBMB Update, 2022's first Ninja Strike fixes item tooltips, ability books, pets, and more. It's a Ninja Strike we can all get behind. Is this exactly what a Ninja Strike should be? We also discuss the massive purchase of Activision Blizzard by Microsoft. This is RSBMB Update, episode 865, recorded Thursday, January 20th, 2022. RuneScape's Golden Touch. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Tanis, welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
Also joining us this week is Zant, first time in the new year. Welcome back.
What's up, everybody?
Zant's been a long time RSBNB community contributor and all around just a general wonderful fellow helping us with so many things around the podcast. Ain't that right?
Well, shucks, I'm flattered.
I'm smiling right now, and folks will know why in a few weeks, but nonetheless, a little bit of a teaser.
Oh
there.
Boy.
But anyways,
careful, Shane.
Yeah. I was on the PVM Meta Year in Review show, and I almost said something I shouldn't have. But I'm saying something I shouldn't say right now. So I'm gonna
Let's move on.
I'm gonna throw that away and say, if you want to follow along with the show, you can find show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Join us in our friends chat, Bits Bytes, and of course our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. And we're going to talk about RuneScape this week, but of course, in addition to that, we're going to go back in time a bit and revive our tech news segment as well. And there was a big, big acquisition in that field this week, so that's what we're going to talk about with that. And it could even have ramifications for anybody who plays RS, so I figured that's why we'd bring that to the show. We're talking about the Activision, or Microsoft purchasing Activision, rather. But before we get to all that, we got the first Ninja Strike of the year, a scattershot focusing on many things from combat UIs to filters to tooltips and, in general, pets and followers as well. So I'm just going to start running through these, but was there anything in any of these patch notes or the Ninja Strikes that jumped out at you that you guys really liked, any specific segment of them?
Oh, I believe there is some little fix this week that I was looking forward to for a while, but I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was.
All right. Well, we'll get through it. How about you, Tanis?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, for me, the best one or the ones that stood out the most were in the pet.
Oh, section. Really? Interesting. Yeah.
And I figured the ones that would stand out to you would be in the combat section because you recently found your new. Okay.
No.
Yeah, no, the pet section kind of stood out to me, but I mean, I thought there was kind of a little bit of a tail with this Ninja Strike. If you looked at the news post, you know how like it kind of said a couple things vaguely, and it's like if you want to see the full list, go straight to the patch notes. I'm like, yeah, that checks out.
All right,
these are definitely patch notes.
All right, what are you specifically talking about? Dare I ask?
Or will you just
tell me when we get there?
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I feel like a lot of the tool tips and stuff like that,
okay.
I mean, that's all nice, but these definitely, for me, was on the level of patch notes. Which is kind of funny when you think about it, because if getting this many updates out of anything this often...
Yeah, if any game had this level of updates, they'd be jumping up and down for it.
I'm just telling you, being in tech and just seeing how slow those gears can move, like, it amazes me. At the same time, I didn't feel like they're, you know, the ninja.
Right. Like compare Star Trek Online. Star Trek Online hasn't had any major patch notes or patches since the start of December.
Yeah.
So...
And there's, I mean, a lot of games are like that, right? Like, what we see in patch notes are like, I mean, that could be a quarterly.
Yeah, quarterly.
Kind of patch for a lot of games. All so, right. You know,
All right.
But be thankful y'all aren't Nintendo fans. There's a lot of games.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine.
Long periods of time without patches. Like Animal Crossing, we've had bugs that have been existing in that game for a long time.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Take forever to get ironed out. But topic for another day.
Starting off, added new tooltips and or examines, or more details to the tooltips and examines for various combat items. These include, but are not limited to, Luck Rings, God Books, Slayer Gems, Defenders, Reprisers, and Rebounders, various food and potions, Divine Portents and Signs, the Enhanced Excalibur, Void Knight equipment, and Attuned Crystal weapons. And there is actually a full list of this posted by Mod Breezy on Twitter with a number of pictures showing the before and after for some of these. So, for example, on the Dragon Defender, it says that previously just used to say axe is a shield, but now axe is a shield, and when damaged, a 6.6% chance to reduce incoming damage by 50 to 95%, and grant your attack plus 20% accuracy. It also gives you a plus 3% accuracy, and that's one of the kind of things that's always a little bit hidden when you talk about defenders and whatnot. So those are the kind of notes that we're talking about with this, but other items that might be included in this include the strength skill cape, and I'm not going to run through the full list here because there's an exhaustive list I'll include in the show
notes. I'm curious about the attuned bow, Shane. Like, does it specifically tell the one thing that makes the attuned crystal different than any other weapons in the game?
That was not posted in his comparison screenshot, but if I had to guess, I would say that that's what it is, but I don't really have any attuned crystal weapons to check on that.
What's the difference?
Well, it's the only weapon that takes into account your agility level.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's interesting.
One of the few spots in the game where agility gets interesting.
Yeah. I just made one of those attuned bows the other day for wilderness stuff.
There you go. Some other items include the dark bow, raids armors, Slayer gems, ectoplasmators, the Wyvern crossbow, Baron sharks, the Shard of Maw. Interestingly enough, I think everybody knew what that one did going in, but it's good to provide a little bit more info on it. All of the elite skilling outfits. So your runecrafting ethereals, your shark outfit, your camo outfit, the trailblazers, the sentinels, the trapper, and the farmer outfit. All those are talked about with their new tooltips. Reaper's necklace, ring of death, crypt bloom, ports armors, Linz's armors, masterwork armor, and the elder god books and the grimoires. And, you know, this is just something that when you look at this, this is a nice quality of life change that prevents somebody from making that wiki search to make sure that, you know, hey, is this the real thing I want?
Yep, that's what I was getting ready to say.
Same.
Great point, Shane.
Yep, exactly. And it's just good to have these in the game, and I think they were done in a very tasteful way that they're not information overload, and the information that they do convey helps. So whoever was in charge of deciding what information to put into this did a really good job.
Yep.
Agreed.
For abilities and spells, locked or otherwise hidden abilities and spells now show in their respective ability books with a lock icon, which is good. I was reminded of that ability that you can cast that will turn any item to gold that is below your loot beam threshold.
Huh.
Yeah, right?
What? Huh?
And it's also a nasty reminder for people who don't have things like Magma Tempest or Greater Concentrated Blast or Greater Ricochet unlocked as well. That those exist, and you might want them at some point in the future. Yeah, I know. I was equally shocked and surprised to see that in the Magic Spellbook that you're able to have an ability that would convert items to gold that were below the threshold.
Yeah, I don't know how that one would have gotten past me, because I do everything I possibly can to clean drops.
Well, then you don't have the golden touch, Tanis.
I guess I don't.
Because
wonder why I don't. That's...
It replaced the Golden Touch sigil.
Okay.
And the
reason, I've never had a sigil.
And the reason you don't have it is because if you were to buy all the sparks to create this ability, it would cost you 584 mil. You need vital sparks.
Oh, jeez. Good Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know where vital sparks come from. Sophonim Slayer Dungeon.
Is that the same amount as it is for Limitless? I think it is.
Yes.
Because I did that one recently. Yeah. It hurt.
Yeah.
Very nice, though.
Yeah, and my threshold's like 50k, so you know how long that would take to get that back?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I was reminded about that ability, and I had to take a quick look and say, oh yeah, this is why I don't have it, 584 mil.
Yep, that makes sense.
Lodestone teleports are now available within the teleport section of the magic ability book below existing teleport spells. And using them from the magic book will perform a quicker standard teleport depending on the settings that you have set.
Thank you.
I like that. But what was it one of the uses of beeswax to speed those up?
Yes. So
yeah, this uses that.
Yeah. So if you click.
Okay, so that's okay.
So if you have it set to do the quick teleport in the lodestone menu, it will do the quick one. And if you just are using them as if you were running through the lodestone system, it'll do the slow animation on them. And this is a good one because lots of people probably forget that you can actually drag those teleports from that lodestone menu to your action bar if you wanted to do that.
Actually, for the longest time, I had an action bar specifically just for teleports.
There you go. There you
go. Yeah, I did that just because I didn't like having to go click the lodestone icon every single time.
Right.
And then go move your mouse to the middle of the screen again. It's just like it's a lot of movement.
And I've been trying to get into the habit today, this week rather, of using the new teleport menu with this, but it's still a reflex to go up to the lodestone menu, so that'll take a little while to iron out.
But yep, this actually makes me want to just like pop out that teleport menu to its own panel.
Yeah,
Because before, I would never really use it, because I put the ones you have, the green ones that you have all the time, those are on a bar. So.
Yeah, and we're talking about 2,200 GP at this point per teleport, based on Viswax cost. So you decide if that's worth it to you.
It's worth it to me.
I like seeing the chopper, because, you know.
Really do wish a lot of the older teleport animations had the quick teleport. That really disappoints me.
Yeah.
Like, some of them, I will do the long teleport just because I want to see it. So I'm with you on that, Tannis.
Yeah, and, you know, thinking about that, maybe it's time we have some new teleport animations added that we can buy for Audimates. Wouldn't that be
fun? Will they please just update the default one already? It's been the same one. Yeah. Like, for how long? Like, gosh, it's still geometry floating up around you instead of particles. Like, I'd love to see what it would look like to do a modern day teleport animation.
I wonder, the Actrack ones look really good, and most of those actually have quick ones.
Yeah, most of the recent ones, I think actually all of them have had the quick teleport.
Yeah.
Even that one that came from the recent quest, the Shatter Rip teleport.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah. Lots of good cosmetics from that quest. Moving on, though, extra filters have been added to ability books, so you can now display or hide the following: unavailable abilities or spells, locked abilities or spells, and lodestone teleports.
So you can revert it to how it was before this week if you don't want your lodestone teleports there.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't worry, guys.
Which is good.
We put a toggle.
Togglescape.
Or if you don't want to be reminded that you're missing Limitless or Golden Touch.
Yeah, we wouldn't want people to want to strive for new goals or anything. Crap off.
Hey, I proudly do not have Golden Touch, okay? I'm proud of it.
Yeah, right.
I'm displaying it like a trophy, okay?
I wonder how many people do, because it did come from those sigils, which have their own backstory behind them.
I haven't. Oh my gosh, it's just so absurdly expensive.
Yeah. Maybe that's a reason to go kill things in the Sophonim Slayer dungeon, though. I don't know. I'm going to move on before I make an enemy of myself here. I was going to say that I'm not a fan of that Slayer dungeon.
I'm honestly not either.
I kind of like it.
I think it's too dark in there. And it can
be,
It's really dark in there.
Yeah. That's true. It can, I mean, it used to be decent money. I don't know if it still is, but, yeah.
All right.
I just find the feathers mechanic annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, on to pets. Ravens have been converted to follower pets. Incubating raven eggs will now unlock them in a specific order rather than at random, and players who lost a raven before the update can reclaim it from the pet shop owner. Penguin pets have also been converted to follower pets in the pet interface, and incubating these will unlock them in the order of gray, brown, and then blue, depending on what you've already unlocked. And as with all other pets, growth stages can be toggled in the interface. And you can recover a lost penguin from the pet shop owner if that's happened to you.
Well, I lost probably a bunch of penguins because I had Mr. Popper's penguin thing going on. I had the igloo menagerie and like four penguins. So I love that they're taking more stuff and putting it on the pet interface, but as far as I can tell, you can't have like multiples.
Right, it's so menagerie. That's right.
Yeah.
As I remember when they did that with the Godbirds, I think there's a post of a person who was really upset with their Zamorak bird collection.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at one time I had it with dragons and stuff, but
and once again, for
the
really, most
part, it's a good thing to be moving.
We're really questioning the place of the menagerie in the player-owned house at this point. The more these things happen,
I mean, aren't we kind of just questioning the entire house at this point?
I want a new house.
I do too.
I don't want them to take it away from me without giving me a new one. Like. Well, I will live in this trailer until you give me something else. Please don't take my trailer away.
In terms of other pets that have gone away, any godbirds, baby dragons, or raccoons that ran away prior to interface updates can now be reclaimed from the pet shop owner. So it sounds like for anybody who didn't take care of their pets when they were 12 years old playing RS, is going to be able to get the back this week.
Well, okay.
So, I remember hearing stories of people's cats running away, but that's not mentioned here.
Yeah, I lost
any of my old cats are going to come back or something.
Yeah.
Fixed an issue preventing the anima creature, revenant pet, and Bombi from transferring their current appearance to an already overridden legendary pet or familiar. Do you have any other itches to scratch on this one, Tanis?
No, like I said, I'm glad that they've been moving more stuff to the pet interface. Like, that's all good. But at the same time,
all right.
My penguins are gone.
Fair enough.
What pets still aren't in the interface? There's quite a few, aren't there?
I'm not a pet person, so I'm not the one to ask on this.
It just really seems like it must be quite a process to move these over.
Yeah, because we're getting a few at a time.
Trickle of them. Uh-huh. That's what I've been thinking.
And I wonder with that, once this is all done, if there's going to be any talk about what happens with the menagerie.
Well, you can still make them appear in a menagerie.
Yeah, you can.
But you can only one. You know,
but like the whole point of that was that would be the place that you'd send them and then they'd be able to, you know, be fed and watered and everything. And you wouldn't have to worry about that.
Oh, well, you still don't have to worry about it, but at least it's the only place we have to display pets.
And now the next logical question, does anybody want to do that in 2022?
Yeah.
I would if it was more of a public kind of thing. Like, the idea to have the bossing pets area in War's Retreat was something that I was kind of hyped about.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to action bars and combat. The Audio Retaliate button can now be dragged to the action bar. And pressing the Auto Retaliate button on mobile will now toggle retaliation behavior. And on mobile, itself, the adrenaline bar can also be dragged to the action bar.
See, what anything is... that you can put on the action bar, I think, is great. Like, this is the other one that stood out to me.
All right.
What does dragging the adrenaline bar do on mobile?
It's just a short form of dragging the button. Probably because the button is
Oh, because it's tiny. That's right. Okay. Because I remember, I thought before you had to literally like press the action. No, you had to press the adrenaline bar to toggle the auto retaliate. Like the button didn't do anything.
Yeah. And see, here's
that was so annoying.
Here's the thing with this. It's so small. And even with this, I'm questioning if I'm able to drag this. Like I'm looking at the mobile screen right now. And what I'm wondering is for anybody who doesn't read the patch notes or anybody who doesn't listen to this show, how on mobile are you going to know that the adrenaline bar itself can be dragged to the action bar?
Relentless tapping. Mm-hmm. That's how I figured it out.
I mean, does your action bars translate from... I mean... It would, right?
Oh, like yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you can just set it up on your computer, and then it would be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
are you able to drag items from your inventory to the little bar that's like on your screen, or do you have to do it in the interface on mobile? I thought you had to do it in the interface.
No, you can do it. You can do it directly on your screen.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Apparently I have some
that confused me about this whole thing, because I just thought that wasn't possible. I tried doing it before and it didn't really seem to work. I wanted to get a food onto my bar on mobile. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, and the part that I'm just concerned about with this is that we're effectively putting these things into game, but there's no real design language to say that this can be dragged and what it'll do when you drag it to the action bar. I mean, if you play on PC, you'll know that. But if you look at this purely in the silo for mobile, you're not necessarily going to know that you can drag your adrenaline bar to your action bar and know that it's going to turn off auto retaliate.
You know, I think a part of this is kind of, it's also strange that they don't just take the same four orbs and bars like we have the action bar on desktop on mobile. Like, you can totally make room for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be good if we were to have that same kind of design language across both apps. But I have a feeling that people on PC would riot just because, oh God, it's different. So you find that funny, Tennis?
No.
You can't pull up stream like that.
It's so true, and it
Also on mobile, Cure and Regenerate can now be activated by using the heart icon, as can happen on desktop, and the heart icon and health bar can also now be dragged to the action bar on mobile, and the summoning and prayer globes can now also be dragged to the action bar on mobile. And those, of course, will accomplish the same things that clicking the buttons do on PC.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to general QL and ninja bug fixes, and this is where it starts to feel like patch notes. Interacting with the manifested knowledge while skilling will no longer interrupt the skilling action. That's the thing that comes from the set effect from the Sliske Zen Game Reward. Now, here's a big one. Added mini summoning obelisk to all main archaeology dig sites, including the archaeology campus.
That's lovely. Nice for people using the water fiends, right?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I always take a restore flask with me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it, like, literally just for summoning.
Yeah. So this is good. Replaced an old version of weapon poison drops on various NPCs with the correct version of weapon poison. And we know how long it's been since you've actually poisoned weapons in-game. And rather than just, you know, drinking the weapon poison as it is now.
Wait, are you telling me that certain things dropped P+ items?
No, I'm telling you that certain things dropped the old weapon poison that would make the P+ item.
Oh, I wonder if you could do anything with it. I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think you could, but yeah. I'd imagine that would be an item that you could not sell anymore and would just be an item at this point that'd just be alkable or droppable.
So, bragging rights.
Would have been a fun piece of trivia to see what these NPCs are, and I'd imagine that they'd be pretty obscure given the fact that this has been a while with this. So, fixed an issue where ability tooltips would not show correctly if they were being affected by the perks from a dinosaur farm animal. Okay, that's good. Everyone's favorite extension of Barricade is thanking themselves for this right now. Prevented the ability to set an auto-fire rate for the Calgarian Demon Familiar special attack, as it couldn't actually be auto-fired to begin with. Makes sense? The Bones to Bananas and Bones to Peaches spells will now correctly only highlight when the player has suitable bones in their backpack. And I'd imagine there was some sort of error coming up if you were trying to cast it on bones that didn't make sense. There we go. Moving back to Het's Oasis now. You guys got your Crocs or your Gators?
No.
No, okay.
I haven't been able to play much over the past month.
Well, unfortunately, so I didn't get them. Unfortunately, you have missed out on that. Because it was okay. A time.
I would never wear them anyways.
Okay, I'm going to just move on quickly then.
I like my rainbow boots, Shane.
I might be wearing them right now in game.
Oh boy.
Why am I not surprised Shane wears Crocs?
It went with the outfit. It went with the outfit.
I wouldn't be surprised he's wearing Crocs IRL right now, too.
No. It's too cold for that. Anyways, scarabs within Het's Oasis will now respawn at a faster rate while scarab hunting. Strange and golden rocks will no longer always be given when constructing flower baskets in the water filtration system. Would have been a nice way to get those rocks really quickly if you were doing that. Mm-hmm. The boost from the Reaper Crew achievement will no longer be applied to players who haven't unlocked it. This came in with Het's Oasis. For the 2 weeks Het's Oasis was around, everybody had Reaper Crew across the entire world.
Oopsie.
Oh, boy.
Which was absolutely amazing to see. Oh, yeah. I got 1,100 life points somehow. Okay, we'll just take that.
It's funny because, there's a couple times when I looked, I'm like, why are my life points so high? Like, I swear it's never been like that. And that was okay.
Even my level 3 skiller had it, and it had 1,700 life points.
What was the time period of this?
From the 4th until this past Monday. If you logged in, you would have had access to
it. I did get a Veracliff PB in that time.
Well, there you go. You had the benefit of Reaper Crew.
And, yeah, I just don't have Reaper Crew. So, I mean, I guess I'm not going to beat that until I get it again.
Yeah.
Until I actually get Reaper Crew.
Yeah. Buckets will now be destroyed when using compost on flower bushes if the destroy empty buckets when farming setting is checked in settings. And following feedback, dwarf multi-cannons can no longer be placed within Het's Oasis. I don't know why, but okay.
I think I know why.
Yeah.
It's a guy. Because people, Shane, people.
Yeah, people.
I actually know one of them who was putting his up there.
Does it start with a D and end with the
Alex 43.
I mean, depending on my mood, I would totally do it.
Well, see, now they should give him he should have paperwork. He can just be like, I'm Alex 43. I'm a canon guy. I go way back. It's kind of my thing.
Here's my pamphlet.
Yeah. Here's my canon passport. It's okay.
Also fixed an issue where some players could not access Het's tomb while in the quest instance, which is kind of important. and fixed an issue where players would be teleported back to Het's statue if they teleported to either their POH or player-owned port. Interestingly enough. Now moving on to gameplay, just general patches. The Holy Scarab Familiar will now drain prayer points as expected when using multiple prayers. So I'm guessing that people were getting an unexpected buff from the Holy Scarab Familiar if using multiple prayers. And this is the familiar that has prayer drained by 50%. I'm not exactly sure where you'd use this still, but I think it's a novel familiar. Okay.
I could think of a couple uses of that a while back.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd use it for nowadays.
So the Powder of Burials, 250% extra prayer XP when burying bones. It now works with the Bone Crusher this week.
Oh. You have my attention.
Yeah. So if you're out killing dragons and you want to make a decent amount of prayer XP part of your dragon task, you can pop a Powder of Burials and you'll get a 250% bonus on those dragon bones, whatever type they are, that wound up getting crushed by the Bone Crusher. But of course, the caveat needs to apply that when doing this, you're still paying to use the Powder of Burials. So you're probably better off just burying the bones on your own time after the fact with that, despite using the Bone Crusher for it. But it's a nice option to have. A number of clue scroll steps that were taking the player to incorrect or broken locations when using the Globetrotter Jacket Teleport are now fixed, specifically around the Duel Arena. And a clue scroll near Het's Oasis was in a blocked location, and this has now been moved. So we've heard people talk about those, and we knew they'd get fixed relatively quickly.
Well, there are people on the site that shall not be named weeks before this, like, they're going to mess up the clue spot. They're going to mess up the clue spot. Then when it happened, they ate it right up.
Yeah, that's right.
That was that.
Updated the Abyssal Whip special attack description as it was inconsistent with how the special attack actually worked. I don't know what the actual description is supposed to be, but there you go.
Something to do with run energy or something like that?
I think so. Or maybe adrenaline. Yeah. I think it used to be run energy.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And just a general note right now is that just remember that you can upgrade whips to tier 85 weapons if you use the worm piece on them, I think it is. So having abyssal whips around is actually a good thing to do in this day and age still, if you're, you know, just looking for a cheap slayer weapon. The Abyssal Whip's special attack is Energy Drain, which requires 50% adrenaline, deals 200 to 100% weapon damage, and steals all of the opponent's run energy.
Oh, okay.
So, there you have it. I remember back in the day when the Abyssal Whip was the item that everybody would go for.
Yeah, Whip and Dragon Defender.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was my combo.
Yep.
So you have the Abyssal Vine Whip at level 75, then you have the Lava Whip at level 85. It's a 10 million GP item worth. But this one actually has the special attack of the original Abyssal Whip when it first came out, when Slayer launched, 75% adrenaline, and when used on a player, it drags them to an adjacent tile near the user. It'll work over blocked terrain. And it will also not work if the user can't see the target. So
it's kind of evil.
Yeah, your...
That's the scorpion. Get over here.
Just your daily primer on... On where the whips are used. And funny you mentioned that, because that's what the name of the special attack is actually. Get over here.
Nice Easter egg, guys.
Oh, RuneScape, we love you.
And last but not least, change the can't log in messaging on the Authenticator app's pop-up to lost your authenticator question mark to avoid confusion, and selecting it will take you to the disabling the authenticator support page. And that's the patch notes for the week and the Ninja Strike of the week. How do we feel heading out of that? I think we knew it was going to be a Ninja Strike week.
Yeah, I mean, I feel about the same. Like, like when you said now it feels like patch notes, I didn't know as much of a difference.
Yeah.
But some of them were pretty good. I mean, some
what was your favorite part? Notes.
I mean, I still kind of like that the things were added to the pets, the ravens and the penguins.
Right.
Even though I lost penguins, I forgot what the other one was that I liked.
The things appearing in the ability books.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
That's a really good one.
For me, it's the tooltips.
I think it's the teleports for me.
Yeah. Okay. Teleports. Yeah. So overall, you know, when we can go into this and all come out of it with having a different favorite part of the Ninja Strike, I think that speaks to a Ninja Strike well done. So.
Yep.
That is actually a pretty good way to look at it.
Yep. That's what we do. All right.
I do like the displayed abilities. I think, did we mention that? Yes.
Yeah, we did.
I do also like that, in addition to the teleports.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to thank some Patreon supporters right now, because we are at the $200 threshold, and we're going to be having a roundtable on the 29th in the afternoon. We'll be talking about anything and everything RuneScape-related and more. So please do join us for that. Just join the Discord at rsbnb.com/Discord. And in particular this week, I would like to thank Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Bryflex, Christian S., Chunk the Monk, Cook Me Plunks, Diana, Drama Free, Duramax, Elo Matey, Flaws of Man, Free Milk, Jacob R., Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Kesky Plays, Nick the Great, Nick G, Parnassius, Rachie G, Ren Hawk, Ricky A, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Seth W, Singer, Stub Eve, The Bears OP, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, Zant, and Zazakon. Thank you everybody for your support. And if you're wondering what all this is about, just check us out at patreon.com/rsbnb. There you can sign up for as little as a dollar a month and gain access to a huge catalog of monthly bits. These are monthly bonus shows that we record each and every month. The one we just recorded and put out last week was about Dailyscape and RuneScape rating, where all the various things in Dailyscape sit from S to F. We had a good time doing that, and it's going to form the basis of potentially another monthly bit that we do in the future, which I should say is also up for poll right now that Patreon members can vote on. You should have got a ping about that in Discord today. But that's all for a dollar a month and more. And, you know, if you want to go for more, there's that. For $3 a month, you can get a special VIP rank on Discord and access to stereo versions of the podcast. For $5 a month, you get a shout out each and every week on the podcast, in addition to everything else. And you get early access to the clips that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. So if this at all sounds interesting to you, check us out at patreon.com/rsbnb. Thanks so much, and it's going to be a really fun roundtable in about a week or so. So we'll see you there, everyone. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So let's dive into our question here before we do tech news, because I think it makes sense to do the question before tech news on this show. And the question this week is from T. Wetz, who asks or says, I have a question for you folks, and should you have time to explore it? They say, I'm a fairly high-level PVMer, and I know very little about the content of RuneScape outside of PVM. That's interesting. Normally, it's the other way around. And I'm a long-time player and have always had a hard time keeping up with new content. Where would you recommend somebody like myself get started with something as basic as even understanding archaeology lore or starting newer quest lines? And that question is from T. Wetz. obvious answer? Go through the Lore Diggers RSBNB update playlist on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB if you want all the archaeology lore. But the simplest answer I think I have for this from an in-game perspective with archaeology is to just go through the skill. Because as you go through the skill, you're going to uncover lore. Read the books as you get them, and you're going to be absolutely amazed with the amount of lore and thought that went into each of the dig sites. So I'd say for archaeology, just play the skill. You guys have any other thoughts on that one?
No, I mean, I think that's good advice, and the Lore Digger episodes are really in-depth and just, yeah, that's good stuff. Definitely with archaeology, yeah, I would start with there. And, I mean, just for a general, just as a general, like, kind of catch-up for RuneScape lore and story in general.
Are we going the same direction?
Probably.
With this? Okay, go ahead.
our friend.
Yes.
Dwarven Yak, Joe, the Book of RS.
Yes.
Currently has videos going up all the way to the Fourth Age, I think. I'll drop a link in the show notes to those videos, but you will want to have a seat and get comfy for those. Maybe get some popcorn, get a nice drink or something, because these videos do they're effectively at this point a feature length film. So you're just going to want to set aside some time for that and just watch through.
Make
that.
A movie viewing out of it.
Yeah, that's a perfect way of looking at it. But he's called Dwarven Yak, the Book of RS. You can Google for that or just look in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. That's a general, fairly high level overview based on each of the ages. As for newer quest lines, I would say start at Desperate Times if you want to get caught up on where we're at with the Elder God War stuff right now, because that's where that one really started and started to tick off. Start with the Desperate Times and then Desperate Measures. I think that was one of the clean break ones, so there's not too many requirements on that. And then I think we had another clean break last year with Azinadra's quest, which is something that there was lots of questions about when it came to the community about whether or not they should do those kind of clean breaks with that. I'm sorry. Desperate Times requires the needle skips and you are it. But those are two intermediate level quests that if you're interested in lore, you want to get into the current way lore works in game. Desperate Times, as a result of the needle skips and you are it, are some wonderful quests. But I think our clean break for this one was Azinadra's quest. So if you don't want to do previous quests, Azinadra's quest, but if you want to do a few just general quests to get into it, Desperate Times is where I'd start with that. And I know Thaxia has been doing this, and it's something that I wish I had the opportunity to do, and that's playing through all the quests in timeline order. So if you just wanted to experience what it was like if you started RuneScape in 2003 and wanted to see the game progress through all of its ages, play through timeline ordering on the quest list. So there's three different ways to get into the lore and quests of the wider aspect of the game on that. You guys have anything to add on that?
No, I think you summed it up really well.
Particularly, please do the needle skips. It's so good.
Yes. Yes, and the funny part about needle skips is they wrote it in such a way that if you use a quest guide, you can be done the needle skips in about 10 minutes. But you miss out on all the wonderful dialogue. Because the way it effectively works in that quest is with the needle skips, the needle and what you're interacting with on it is in effect a computer, and you're trying to, in effect, pull lore fragments out of it. But that's all I'll say on that. That was a wonderful Maud Osborne. I'm trying to remember the other J-Mod who he worked on that with. I think she has left the company. I can't remember her name, unfortunately. But it was a wonderful narrative quest. Ah, it's going to be bothering me now. But also, if you like quests and you decide you like them, join the Clan Quest Clan Chat in-game. I realize that might sound like a blatant advertisement at this point, but they're a wonderful group of people, partly because I'm able to ensure that they are, Tanis is in there. Zant is in there. Lots of the RSVNB update people are in there. And lots of them have also joined Clan Quest as well. So if you discover that you're actually starting to like lore, or you just have a question about a quest, or you have a question about lore, pop into that clan chat. They're all very helpful on that. And you might also find some new PVM friends in there. So,
Clan Quest. Mod Krista, by the way.
Mod Krista, thank you.
Yes.
And she has left, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for that. All right. If you guys have questions, you can send them in. Just pop them into our forum at update.rsbnb.com/ask or DM us on Twitter or mention us, and we'll work your question into the show for the next week. All right. Rekindling the tech news segment after a while. And we need to talk about this one because it's gaming related. We play games here. And it could potentially at some point touch RuneScape. So Microsoft has bought Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion. And this includes franchises such as Overwatch, Diablo, Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, StarCraft, Call of Duty. I could go on.
And Call of Duty.
Yeah, I said Call.
Did you say Call of Duty?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I get where you're going, Zach. Because that's the kind of thing that makes Twitch, right?
I think we were kind of just memeing you.
Yeah. Of course you were. But Call of Duty and World of Warcraft are the big ones. You know, I think that this is going to be like the EA purchase, where there's going to be the deal that allowed the EA games to appear on Game Pass and whatnot. One would think that's going to happen with the Call of Duty and Diablo games, and who knows about World of Warcraft and such. But I think with Microsoft purchasing it, it's really positioning Microsoft in a position of power to be, in effect, the sole place to go for anything gaming related at this point. If granted, you're going to be able to get the stuff elsewhere, they say. You're still going to be able to play these games on PS5, of course. But I think that it just cements Microsoft further into that position. And it also illustrates, again, that just like we see when it comes to telecom companies, that one company is going to start acquiring other ones and so on and so forth, just how Activision bought Blizzard and now Microsoft has bought Activision, you're going to wind up in a situation at the end of the day where most of your favorite game franchises are owned by 2 to 3 big companies. And as long as they are aware of this and, of course, keep iterating in positive ways, that'll be okay. But we just need to make sure we don't get ourselves in a position where it becomes like the telecom companies, where there's very little competition between all these, and you just, in effect, have, you know, one siloed shooter, one siloed role-based shooter. So I'm talking about Overwatch and Call of Duty in that regard. And then you really, at that point, have to ask who the competitors are, right? Epic? Steam? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm probably going to surprise you, Shane, but so normally I would be all against this. I would be like definitely one of the people that are not feeling this, typically against mergers. That being said, Activision is in big shit in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And I am not sure that they could survive in the long run. And I almost look at this as a way of preserving the intellectual property.
A lifeline.
Yeah. And they should be held accountable, right? Like, they did some bad things.
Oh, yeah.
But,
oh, yeah. And there's going to be an opportunity for the people from these companies to either move on or get dispersed throughout Microsoft. Some of them might stay on the Activision gaming side of it. But it's a perfect way, in effect, to shake that up and let the people who were involved in that deal with the problems they have and bring the new leadership that's necessary to ensure that those game franchises, Overwatch, Diablo, StarCraft, Call of Duty, and so on and so forth, are able to flourish going forward without this cloud hanging over them, and
yeah,
just let the people deal with it.
Yep. The other thing that is possible, this could put more pressure on Sony for more cross-platform cooperation with these games.
Oh yeah, totally. Because in the past it was seen as Microsoft was the bottleneck to this, right? But now it's Sony.
No, Sony's mm-hmm. always been the bottleneck.
Yeah, Sony is now the bottleneck.
Oh, okay. And before it was gotcha.
Because now, if you have Game Pass, you can access pretty much all the same games on either an Xbox or a PC. You take your pick about where you're going to play.
Yeah.
Like Forza, for example, right? Cross-platform. Yeah. Halo, the new Halo, 100% cross-platform. So on and so forth. It'll really raise the question of what Sony does about all this. And Sony has been known in the recent years as the place people go on the PS5 and such for their exclusives for that. Mm-hmm. And the question is, are they going to open up and say, hey, maybe you can still have your exclusives on Sony, or your PlayStation rather, but maybe, hey, we'd like to get into this and share some of these games that are across this wide spectrum of game platforms, right?
Yep.
And you know what would be really ironic about all this? And I might piss some people off by saying this. This is what Epic wanted all along.
Also,
cross-platform gaming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were after that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's better. It's better for everybody. Like, as somebody that's trying to, you know, organize gaming nights and stuff.
Right.
And especially like when you're, you know, if you're not revolved around a certain particular game.
Oh yeah.
Like all you need to organize
a gaming night amongst people is you need to say, hey, have an Xbox One from 2013 at least, and get this Game Pass for this month, and you're going to be able to join us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a,
Could you imagine having a gaming night where you have the ability now to choose between an EA title like a Battlefield or an NHL or a Madden or a Forza or a Call of Duty, all under that one Game Pass roof?
Oh, absolutely. And here's the other thing that I think is wonderful about that. I mean, it's kind of related because it's a Game Pass issue, and this would probably be a huge addition to that. But it's really good for people who, like myself, that you don't know if a game's going to work for you or not.
Yep.
And instead of being in it for $60 or whatever, like, you can try it out. I can't say how nice that is, and why I'm such a believer and backer of the Game Pass.
Or even if you have an older computer and you want to see if something like the new Forza will run on it before deciding if you want to sink the time into that, or you want to sink the time into upgrading your hardware.
Yeah.
As much as I hate to admit it, it seems like a subscription model like this is something that works really well with gaming, just given, you know, all the little things that can happen.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't do it any differently now, honestly.
Yeah, it's like the thought of spending, like, shit, I mean, I spend $60 on my Nintendo games still, but, I mean, most everything else is just I play on Game
Pass.
Well,
that's different.
Unless
Nintendo,
it's some other exclusive. Yeah. But paying $60 for those, it kind of hurts now.
But don't you feel right doing it?
Because I'm not used to it anymore.
Don't you feel all right doing it because Nintendo offers a bespoke experience and you can only get it in that one spot?
I do, but my wallet does not appreciate it.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I'm really hyped for what Game Pass could turn into with this. I mean, it's already kind of like, you know, Netflix for gaming. But, I mean, do you think this would end up with them, like, upping the price of it eventually? If games like Call of Duty and all of Blizzard's stuff gets onto Game Pass.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
we're going to have to wait and see.
Would it be worth another
last year?
Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, like, would that be worth another $5?
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, I mean, for me, it would 100%. You know. And I'm personally, I mean, as someone who's been really involved with the Call of Duty scene for like years, like since about 2014, like pretty deeply involved, I'm really interested in what this is going to do to that game, because Call of Duty has been in this interesting position where they've been bounced back and forth between Sony and Microsoft in terms of exclusivity. Up until, I think it was Black Ops 3, all of the DLC and stuff for Call of Duty came out on Xbox first. And all of, you know, you just get your DLC maps a month early, you'd get your new camos a month early. And then when Black Ops 3 came out, that became a deal with Sony. And then all of a sudden, it's PlayStation's getting all of the stuff early. So it's, you know, as someone who's just always been kind of just the Xbox Call of Duty fan, and that's just kind of, you know, where I've remained in that community, I kind of felt when that happened. So I feel like this could be what needs to happen to either open that up to not be exclusive at all, or it's either just going to lock it back to Xbox again. So
what you're saying is Microsoft finally put a ring on it and locked that shit down.
Yeah. They're like, give me that back.
As with the latest numbers, Game Pass now has 25 million subscribers.
Wow.
That's something.
Yeah.
And this also includes the cloud access to it. And the CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, said,
I love that,
that
cloud access.
We're investing deeply in world-class content, community, and the cloud to usher in a new era of gaming that puts players and creators first and makes games safe, inclusive, and accessible to all.
Yeah, I really enjoy that cloud gaming. I mean, you know, it can lag and stuff, but honestly, you don't have to have anything on your computer. You don't take up space. It's good stuff.
Yeah. I'm really hyped for where cloud gaming is going to go. Even with I remember like when we used to live in my old apartment, and I had fiber internet still. I would Steam Link RuneScape to my crap computer so I could lay in bed and play it, and it just worked. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about doing that with all my games, that sounds really nice. Because I feel like if I want to actually game nowadays, I'm tied to my desk. Like, I can't go lay in bed or sit on the couch or something, you know? And, you know, eventually if we get to the point where cloud gaming becomes something that's, you know, more equatable to gaming on actual hardware, I mean, that would be super convenient.
Yeah, well, you've been
awesome, just put it on whatever screen you want without having to move your console stuff around.
Weren't you doing the cloud thing, Tannis, with Forza?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did that go?
It's for the most part, like, it's pretty good. Now, that one I did experience a little bit of lag. But I mean, it's a brand new Forza game. And you're flying. It's just for the most part, like for almost anything else that I play, there's very little lag or anything. Like, I don't know. I think it works out pretty well.
Right.
I wouldn't want to play a twitchy shooter on it, I assume, where I'm competing against people. But
I wouldn't play a twitchy shooter just because I don't think that'd work out too well. It was fine all, you know, up until Forza, and even then it was just a little bit of lag here and there.
The Activision Blizzard business is going to retain their CEO during the transition period, but it's unlikely that will persist once the deal has fully closed and it has finished, and the entire business at that point will then just report to the CEO of Microsoft Gaming, Phil Spencer. So it's looking like the entire Activision Blizzard group will be rolled into Microsoft Gaming under Phil Spencer. So that's how they're likely going to handle
that
in terms of changing the leadership. Yeah.
Yep, that's how they're cleaning it up.
So the Activision devs and whatnot will persist, but the leadership behind it will in effect become Microsoft leadership with that.
Yeah, once they get those chips in them in the 5G, they'll cut that shit out.
And this is our final aspect on this, talking about those questions about the culture at Activision Blizzard. Phil Spencer said that as a company, Microsoft is committed to our journey for inclusion in every aspect of gaming, both for employees and players, and we deeply value individual studio cultures. We also believe that creative success and autonomy go hand in hand with treating every person with dignity and respect. We hold all teams and all leaders to this commitment. We are looking forward to extending our culture of proactive inclusion to the great teams across Activision Blizzard. So you can read into that what you want.
See.
And just a note, remember that it was last year, around this time, that Microsoft acquired Bethesda for $7.5 billion. So almost 10 times the amount for Activision Blizzard, which makes sense given how large of a company that is.
Yeah.
So there we have it. Big, big deal in the gaming world.
Oh, yeah.
And I say it might touch RS because, you know, there's already been that currency pack that people who had Game Pass could play and pick up on Game Pass if you had Game Pass and then use that for RS. That's something that existed, and we know that there has been the push inside Jagex to bring RS to different platforms and whatnot. And, of course, the next question is, where do you go after Steam? And I think the two logical answers for that are some form of either the Epic Store or Game Pass PC. So that's why I say this could touch RS.
Oh, Game Pass PC.
I wonder how that would work.
I don't know how it would work on an Xbox, and that's why I said Game Pass on PC only. Maybe
I wonder how your subscription tie-in with that would work.
Yeah, I don't know, and they'd have to find a way for it to be beneficial to Jagex on that. So
yeah, I guess I could see them like maybe just giving Game Pass members a discount on it at some point.
Maybe that might be a way of doing it. Might be a way of doing it, but
I don't know. I think all in all about this acquisition, I think I'm mostly cautiously optimistic about it. I say cautiously because, I mean, it is one of the biggest corporations in gaming buying one of the other biggest ones. And so, I mean, we're turning into these giant conglomerates now. And, I do have faith in Phil Spencer to kind of, you know, help Activision Blizzard kind of get their shit together after, you know, what's been going on. But who's to say that lasts, like, next CEO? I mean, what if, like, another Don Mattrick happened? I mean,
And that was my only concern with buying a huge company like Activision is that at the end of the day, we want to make sure that this doesn't turn into a situation where it's like the telecoms where there's only, you know, two or three big ones.
It's making so much rest on so little, and that could be dangerous.
Honestly,
just something to think about.
Honestly, I don't feel like we're there at that point, but it's just
me either.
Playing devil's advocate and making sure that we cover all the bases on this. So,
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
That we will. And with that, picks of the week, Zant.
Okay, so almost every time I'm on here, I don't know, I have a pick that's some different app that I'm using because I don't know, I kind of just mess around with a bunch of different apps just for fun sometimes. But this week, it's a Netflix show called Ozark, and this came out a couple of years ago. And actually, I think tomorrow night is when the last season starts.
Oh, interesting.
But this is a very good show. It's about this family who the father is a financial advisor in Chicago, and he gets into some shady business dealings that get him involved with a Mexican drug cartel. And he has to make this really last minute, like desperation deal to convince this guy to not kill him, that he can launder a ton of money for him in the Ozarks in Missouri. And so him and his family move down there from Chicago, and they have to launder all this money for this guy, avoid the FBI, avoid the locals figuring out what they're doing. And things just keep piling up and piling up and piling up. And they basically push it as far as you can possibly get before getting either killed or incarcerated. And it just keeps going. And I'm not the kind of person that really watches many Netflix series, per se. But this one hooked me. And it really got me into it. And same with my boyfriend as well. Like, after I watched it the first time, we watched it together, and he's, like, really into it, too. So, great show. It is Jason Bateman is he's director for it, and he's also acting in it as well. He does a great job in it. I mean, he's one of my favorite actors personally. So, yeah, it's a great show. I definitely recommend it if you like something more dark, suspenseful, but kind of grounded in things that, you know, happen.
Yeah, that's good. I'd be interested to come back to this after it ends, because you said season 4 is the last one.
Yeah, they're doing it a little differently, though. They're kind of divvying up into two sections of half and half, 7 episodes each, 14 total,
yeah.
Whereas the previous 3 were 10 each.
I'd be interested to know how you feel about this after it ends, because I know there's a lot of those shows out there, not naming any names at this point, because that's a topic for a different time, of course, that start off with such great promise and then end with a whimper instead of a bang. So I'll be asking you when this is done, how this went.
Yeah. Coming out of season 3, I'm quite satisfied with where it's going right now. I think they have it set up to end in a really nice place, but we'll have to see. Cautiously optimistic again.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's HBO.
Why? What are you talking about, Tennis?
I just giggled. I didn't get that.
HBO, Sopranos, and Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Those ended wonderfully, didn't they?
Okay. I've never watched either, so there you go.
Like I said, I don't watch many shows, and this is a little bit something that I usually don't do, but it really hooked me.
All right. Tennis?
I'm going with the show too, and it's about the middle of the season right now, but it's a show on Disney Plus called The Book of Boba Fett. Disney is rocking it with the Star Wars shows right now. Like, the last two movies sucked, but we're really doing well with the shows. like the Mandalorian's been good, and this was a kind of a branch off that we got to see at the Mandalorian last season. But it tells the story of what happened to Boba Fett once he, you know, when we think he dies in Return of the Jedi, he gets, you know, thrown in the Sarlacc pit or whatever. And it kind of picks up his story from there and what happens to him. So he's still a badass. We got to see Black Chrysanthemum, which is the like evil Wookiee. That's awesome. Whoever would have thought there was like an evil Wookiee out there. He's a badass.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of sci-fi for me lately, you know, a lot of Star Wars, a lot of Star Trek. You know, I think, I don't know what that says about me. If I'm like, I want to live in a war-torn galaxy or a futuristic utopia, anything is better than the pandemic-ridden hellscape we're in right now. But yeah, check out the Book of Boba Fett if you are on Disney Plus.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
I think so.
Yeah. Alrighty. My pick of the week brings us back to where we started with RuneScape, and I talked about this when I had the deluxe version sent to me in the start of December, and over the Christmas break, I was actually able to finish reading the entire book. That is, of course, RuneScape, the first 20 years. I think the deluxe version is sold out at this point, but I'm just going to say that if there's anybody listening to this podcast, there's a very good chance that this book, RuneScape, the first 20 years in illustrated history, is going to be something that you want. And they still have the standard version in stock. You can get it on the RuneScape official merch store. You can get it on Amazon. I think it was $35 US. You can find it in bookstores. And the entire thing that I want to say with this book is that being a book about RuneScape, it tells our story. You open this book to any page and you're going to be able to see you in it. You're going to be able to see parts of the history that you were involved in. You're going to be able to see a full nostalgia trip as you go from cover to cover with this book, going from the very beginning in 2001 all the way up to the tail end of 2020 and the start of RuneScape's 20th anniversary. And there are a few points in this book I just smiled and I'm like, yeah, I remember when this came out. I remember talking about this on the podcast. I remember doing this quest. I remember actually looking at these pictures that are posted in this book that were used from the RS Wiki. There's just so much in this book that if you play RS as much as we do, you're going to appreciate. And it's just something that you're likely going to want as a keepsake. And I talked about, of course, the deluxe version with the art and whatnot that was sent out to me very graciously by Jagex, but I didn't necessarily want to do that as a pick of the week at the time because I hadn't finished reading the complete book yet. It was only something that I was able to look to a very few key chapters to if I needed a quick point of reference or just wanted to see what was being talked about a certain angle on something. But it's a great presentation of the 20 years, and I feel that everybody who listens to this show is probably going to have an interest in this. So if you have the means at all, definitely pick up a copy of this.
I just placed an order.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally just now. Yeah. I've been meaning to do it and you just reminded me.
Yeah. It's you're going to have a nostalgia trip just like I did. One of the fun pages is they have a page of the map of the path you need to take through one small favor.
Oh my God. No way.
Yep.
No way.
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, this is going to be fantastic.
They talk about, how certain puzzles were made, how, certain decisions were made about the wilderness and whatnot and how everything started.
Oh, I love stuff like this.
Yep.
Love it. I bought the big edition they did for, Zelda Breath of the Wild like this and read the entire thing
cover to cover.
And yep.
Yeah.
It was a lot more art than reading per se. That's
oh yeah. And there's wonderful pictures.
There's a lot of info in there too.
And there's wonderful pictures in this as well. And I've decided that what I want to do with this is I actually want to get a standard edition of it as well. And the plan for that one is actually, assuming we're able to, you know, travel again relatively easily, is that at any meetups I do is to have the people I meet sign that.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Because, you know, it is us. It is us after 20 years.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So that's the pick of the week.
I couldn't get the deluxe edition, but
yeah, it's a wonderful book.
What does the deluxe edition have that the standard doesn't?
It's got a golden texture on the book itself. It's got some art associated with it, and it's got a protective case.
Okay, so
it's the same content. It's just a different presentation. Yeah, yeah. So, but wonderful, wonderful. All right. As I look through this, achievements of the league. Let's start with you, Zant.
All right. First up on the 19th, we have Atmahua with 99 Archaeology, Evan with 99 Smithing, and that's Evan with like 5 E's, by the way, and also 99 Mining, Kedgeworth with 99 Dungeoneering, Queen Adina with 99 Archaeology on the 18th, Borosaur with 120 Dungeoneering A, congrats on that, on the 17th, sorry, I'm a fan of Dungeoneering. We have iBattleSlash with 120 Divination on the 17th. Rex Competum with 99 Invention and Attack also on the 17th. Debreeze 24 with 99 Archaeology and Uber Plastic with 99 Summoning on the 17th as well.
All right. And then moving on to the 16th, we have Jade Core with 120 Agility. I hope that was with feathers, my friend. Jumpy Ninja with 99 Mining, Bond 008 with 99 Woodcutting, let's see, oh, and 99 Fire Making. Okay, makes sense. Then we have Rex Compitrium with 99 Strength, Robosaur Rex. I like that too. 200 mil ranged. Nice. Skips with 99 invention. Taxi cab with 99 summoning. And Twisted Soul with 99 archaeology.
All right, continuing on the 15th, we have Rex Compidium with 99 constitution and 99 magic. Rippeth with 99 agility once again. Question about agility reigns supreme. Taxi cab again with 99 ranged on the 15th. Rippeth with 99 runecrafting. Evan with 5 E's on the 13th with 99 summoning. Free Milk got 120 farming on the 13th. Lord Deluxe got 99 smithing. Skips got 99 agility. And Turd Sniffer Zero got 99 mining all on the 13th. Nice achievements, everyone. Nice achievements.
Very nice.
Alrighty. What have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tanis.
I am up to about 15k Elder Rune Bars.
Oh my god!
That's what I'm up to right now. So, probably gonna be... I'm about halfway through the ore that I have.
I wonder how much you could get if you made that into plus fours and sold it.
I mean, maybe we'll find out. I don't know.
Are you just gonna use it in... get your own smithing XP.
No, I'm probably going to sell it. It's just a matter of, will I get more by turning it into fours, or is it not worth the work that you would do? You know, so that's my only question.
Right. And I think that you could make an economic argument to do it either way, just depending on where you value your time on that and how much money you want to get at the end of the day with that. And you know, thinking about that, that raises really good questions about would I, or would anyone rather, get 120 mining and smithing now doing this method so that everything would be unlocked should those ever go to 120? Or would you rather wait and do it when the 120s come out? Because obviously anybody who did 120 Herbler or 120 farming after those went to 120 had different methods with higher XP rates.
Probably saved money too.
I mean, that's true. I mean, but I'm not going to wait.
Yeah.
Like if I waited, like I'd have way and I'd imagine fewer 120s than what I am.
And I'd imagine they're two of your favorite skills too.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been too bad.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Good. And we should have a double XP in February that you can make some moves on that with. That should be fun. Zant?
Since I've been so swamped with work over the past, well, basically since start of the year, I just haven't been playing RuneScape much. I didn't even touch Hetz Oasis during the time that the event was happening.
So you won't have your gators?
Yeah, it's okay, though. Rainbow boots are better.
Okay, fair enough.
but other than that, like, I've kind of just been logging in doing dailies when I remember to, and that's Bloodwood Trees for me, Farming Run, and then Maw. So, good. Other than that, nothing too much. Trying to think. I have a couple darts I've been wanting to use on Ambi at some point. I did one randomly the other week, or I think it was like last week because I was just bored. I was going to use all three and I did one and I was like, okay, I'm done.
All right. Fair enough.
So yeah, nothing too much going on over here.
As for me myself, last week we announced on the show, of course, we got 99 farming on the alt. So following from that, I've switched over to a divination focus, making a push there to get some porters before I pick archaeology up again. And there's been this question that's been popping into my mind at some point. It's that, when do you start doing quests and focus on the goal of Prif? Because it feels like you're really shortchanging yourself to be cutting yourself off from skilling to 99 across a bunch of skills without Prif. But we all know Prif requires 75 in the melee skills, of course. So that would mean abandoning the whole idea of doing the level 3 skiller. So it's raising some interesting philosophical questions about if the push to an all maxed level 3 skiller is viable in 2022. And sure, it can be done, but it's a question of missing out on a lot of the top training methods in game that are prif angled, which I'm sure Tanis can sympathize with.
Yeah, definitely.
So, that's something I'm juggling with internally, but on the main, I've been doing a good amount of raids. We did an Elite Dungeon Trilogy on the weekend as well. I was only missing the kill on one of the bosses in Elite Dungeon 2. Now, Zan, you used to do those fairly regularly. What's your favorite Elite Dungeon?
2.
Okay.
I solo it quite often. I want to take you sometime.
Yeah, we should do that. I said that after doing the trio and experiencing it with proper combat gear to the point where I wasn't being carried, as was happening last time when we did normal mode, I said that 2 was my favorite as well.
Yeah. I just think it's a nice balance, has good rewards.
Yeah.
The mobs are a bit of a pain, but fights are fun. They feel satisfying.
Yeah, and I think it's also a tie between 2 and 1 for the environment. And for some reason, Elite Dungeon 3, and this might be contrary to public opinion, but that one really didn't resonate with me that well.
I think in terms of the environment, I think 1 is definitely my favorite.
Okay.
2 looks really good, but I think that Molten Ruins part kind of ruins it for me.
Okay, fair enough.
Just something about it. Maybe it's because I can see the same rock duplicated like infinite times everywhere, and it's the same one that Veracruz uses for a spire attack.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
See, when you're in game development, you see things like that way more than you should, and it makes it hard for me to truly appreciate certain things that I wish I could. Because, I mean, it is still within a cohesive style. It still looks great. But I see that, and it's like, it sticks out.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And just to top it all off, of course, dailies. I was able to recalibrate some of the dailies I was doing after our dailyscape bit last week. Bring some things up a bit more and move some things down that I was doing. That was a fun one, wasn't it, Tanis?
Yeah,
I learned a lot from that. I listened to that just earlier today. Yeah, that was great.
And then you told us, why wasn't Maw higher? You can get Reaper's Gift from it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like the reason I do Maw. It's really nice. I swear I get a Reaper's Gift like every month.
I think we put Maw really at nice. I think Maw was either A or B.
I think it was, I don't remember.
Or maybe yeah, it's C, I think. Yeah. We might have put it at. But
wait, I have the Patreon page open right now. I could probably find it.
Yeah, do that while we're moving on from this. But
I think B.
Okay, B makes sense. That
yes, it was B.
Right.
You think that would have bumped it up a tier?
I think it might have bumped it up to A, but who knows, given that it's so
I don't urgent. Think it would have bumped it anywhere near S, though.
No, absolutely yeah. not with some of the other stuff we were talking about in S category. But yes, of course, if this sounds interesting to you or you want to go back to that, patreon.com/RSBNB. And I think with that, we can wrap this episode of RSBNB Update up. So thanks everybody for being here. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this episode. And if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that on any major podcasting platform. We're on pretty much all of them at this point, I think. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Pocket Cast, Stitcher. If your podcast client supports reviews, definitely give us a thumbs up and give us a positive review. It helps with discoverability. And same goes for the YouTube channel, which you can find at youtube.com/RSBNB. Give us a like and subscribe there. So with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See you.
See you guys.